Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania at 2127 Hill Street. I am Pastor Alan Walter, thanking you for joining us today, and trust your heart will be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power, power,
wonder-working power
in the blood.
In the blood of the Lamb.
There is power, power,
power, power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow?
There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin's stains are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power, power, wonder-working power
in the blood.
In the blood of the Lamb.
There is power,
power, power, power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is
power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood.
In the precious blood.
Good morning and happy February. One person related this story. While at the beach in Jacksonville, Florida, one summer, I saw a lifeguard suddenly jump to his feet in his tower. He took the Red Cross flag out of its standard and waved it frantically so they could see him at the main lifeguard station. He then threw it on the ground, jumped down, grabbed a life buoy, and rushed out into the water. With strong strokes, he swam toward a man waving for help. In a few seconds, sirens wailed as an ambulance came up and three other guards swam out to help. They rescued the man and gave him artificial respiration. Scores gathered around. All were deeply moved as the man was revived. The same scene was repeated several times that day from the undertow, which was unusually strong. Late that afternoon, I went to the main station to say thanks as a private citizen to the dedication of these men. When I walked into the station, I was struck by a sign on the wall in large red letters which read, "If in doubt, go." It struck me that this ought to be on the wall of every church and on the table of every heart as we see the multitudes around us and read the command of God to go. Well, I trust that's the burden of your heart, a desire to go and to do something for God. May our faith not be feeble as one man's was in Mark's Gospel chapter 9, from which we'll take our text today. So stay tuned and let's enjoy a time of faith strengthening, a time of encouraging that burden, that desire deep down within to rise above the mediocre, to rise above doubt and confusion, and take heart in the power of Jesus to do mighty things in this day and age in which we live. I'm excited to be with you today and hopefully throughout this month of February and our special emphasis at our church happening for attendance. We hope that you're making plans to be there today, and we look forward to seeing you and many others as we worship the Lord together.
Presence is fullness of joy.
Lord, I praise you that your invitation is so welcoming. It makes one want to come and bow down reverently, quietly before you, to acknowledge you, to seek your face, to ask for your anointing, for your leadership, for the power of the Holy Spirit to so envelop our being that we indeed can fill in the gap and make up the hedge and be victorious, not only in our own life, but in being able to help someone else on life's journey to know you more fully, to experience you in the way that one can, thank God, experience you. Knowing you personally is so satisfying. It is so convincing. It is so transformational to know God, to know him in a real and living way in one's heart and life. You know he lives because he lives within your heart. There's communion with him. There's fellowship. There is a daily walking with God, and nothing can compare to that beautiful journey of walking with you, coming before you, and worshiping you. We're trusting you for a great day of worship today. We're believing you for the touch that someone may need who's listening just now to this broadcast this morning. A touch physically, a touch emotionally, a lift to their spirits, assurance that is needed that God is able for the need that they are facing just now. Lord, would you just hear and answer prayer on behalf of whatever the need is in someone's life today? We'll praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I've been on the mountain, I've been in the valley, and I have lived life in between. He was right beside me, and he was there to guide me, and now I will lift my voice and sing. And I will
praise him in the good times, I'll praise him in the bad.
I will
praise him when I'm happy, I'll praise him when I'm sad.
I will
praise him for the blood that he shed on Calvary.
I will
praise his name forever, God has been so good to me.
Now I don't have much money, but I seldom worry, for I know that he'll take care of me. He is my daily bread, and he keeps me warm and fed, and now I will lift my voice and sing. And I will
praise him in the good times, I'll praise him in the bad.
I will
praise him when I'm happy, I'll praise Him when I'm sad. I will praise Him for the blood that He shed on Calvary. I will praise His name forever. God has been so good to me. And I will praise Him in the good times. I'll praise Him in the bad. I will praise Him when I'm happy. I'll praise Him when I'm sad. I will praise Him for the blood that He shed on Calvary. I will praise His name forever. God has been so good to me. I will praise Him for the blood that He shed on Calvary. I will praise His name forever. God has been so good to me.
Thank God for every reason to praise Him. We appreciate the Redeemed Quartet singing that for us today. Well, we're about to begin Sunday school, and we're about to begin our five-week emphasis for attendance, our people inviting family and friends to come and join them, and lots of special things happening. I will be speaking this morning, Pastor Joel this evening. We will have competition for who brings the most visitors. There'll be gifts given to all of our visitors, and it'll continue throughout this five-week span through the first Sunday of March. Why don't you make plans to come and be a part of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church, our worship experience. Next Sunday, Reverend Dan Durkee will be with us. He and his wife will be ministering in song. He will be preaching from a sportsman emphasis. The whole day next Sunday is a sportsman emphasis. We hope to have some nice things on display, from things that people have been able to acquire in their hunting and fishing and the various outdoors practices of our people. So you don't want to miss that display either next Sunday as we enjoy sportsman day and on from there. So stay tuned. We're glad to have you part of Missionary Echoes this morning. And again, we're going to be reading from Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, beginning at verse 14, just after this song.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, bow to His temple, draw near. Join me in glad adoration.
Praise to the Lord, who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth, shelters thee under His wings, yea, so gently sustaineth.
Hast thou not seen
how all thy longings have been?
Granted Him what He ordaineth. Praise ye the Lord, O let all that is in me adore Him. All that hath life and breath come now with praises before Him. Let the Amen sound from His people again.
From Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, beginning at verse 14, And when He came to His disciples, He saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld Him, were greatly amazed, and running to Him, saluted Him. And He asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child, and oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Thomas Aquinas was a Roman Catholic scholar who lived between 1225 and 1274. He was a brilliant thinker who left an indelible imprint on the fabric of his time. He had an opportunity to visit the Vatican. The Pope is said to have looked at Thomas Aquinas and said, Behold, Master Thomas, the Church can no longer say, as St. Peter, silver and gold have I none. Aquinas was quick to reply, Alas, neither can we say what follows, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Thomas Aquinas understood a truth that many people never grasp. The real measure of success for a church or ministry is not how fine its buildings are, how large its offering are, or how great its crowds are. The real measure of success for a church or a ministry is in whether it operates in the power of God. We are living in the day of ministerial success. Every church wants to be the largest, the richest, the most influential. Success is measured these days in millions of dollars, tens of thousands of attendees, and in worldwide fame and attention. The sad truth is this. God has a very different standard for determining what constitutes a successful ministry. In this passage, the Lord Jesus teaches us about the most important ingredient of a successful ministry. The disciples lacked that ingredient, and they failed miserably. We're told in verse 18 of this text that the disciples of Jesus failed in their attempt to cast out a demon from a little boy. The boy's father summed up their efforts by saying, "And they could not." And he was right. He came to these men hoping to find some help for his family, but he found that these men had no help to offer. They could not. Why did they fail? They failed because they lacked spiritual power. They lacked spiritual power because they were missing the one ingredient that assures spiritual power. I'd like for us to look into these verses today because we need the message they teach us. We're here trying to carry out the Lord's business in these dark, sinful days, and too many times people walk away from our churches saying, "And they could not." Our problem is the same as that of the Lord's disciples. Often we lack the necessary ingredient required for spiritual success, the faith to turn our feebleness into triumph. Several years ago, an issue of U.S. News and World Report said, in the United States, 27 million adults and 7.5 million children have a diagnosable mental disorder, more than the combined number of people with cancer, heart disease, and lung disorders. The last I knew, that number was at 44 million adults. For many, that mental disorder is anxiety, worry, a fretful heart. The man in today's story was in the grips of an understandable anxiety attack, for his son was in crisis. Our greatest worries are often over those we love the most. Perhaps the only good thing we can say about worry is that it sometimes drives us to the Lord. In our story today, it brought this father to Jesus, but once there, his unbelief threatened his receiving of the Lord's help. While worry may sometimes drive us to the Lord, it can so dominate our prayers that we have trouble claiming God's answers by faith. Perhaps this father's case may help us understand our own. Let us note the case carefully and observe, first of all, the suspected difficulty. The father may have thought the disciples were clueless. Despite their bravado, they seemed unable to help. Sometimes other people, despite good intentions, cannot relieve our need. Sometimes even our Christian friends in the church appear to be powerless to help. And this guy thought these disciples were rather clueless when they could not. The problem, he thought, was hopeless. The boy's disease was fitful, mysterious, and terribly violent. We sometimes forget that the Lord delights to work impossibilities. The Savior, he thought, was even powerless. The man half hinted at this when he said, Master, if you can do anything. The people of Isaiah's day grew discouraged in their exile, wondering if God saw their problems or cared about their cause. Anxiety whispers demonically in our ear, doesn't it? God does not care. The Savior is powerless. And we can kind of get in the same mode as this dear father was with the suspected difficulty. But then the second thing is there was a tearful discovery. And in verse 24 of this lesson, he said with tears, his small faith discovered his unbelief. There it was, with tears, he begins to speak. Sometimes we have just enough faith to realize how weak our belief really is. That is not a great faith, but it is enough to start with. If we have just enough faith to recognize its own weakness, we have a place to start. God has a foothold in our hearts. Sometimes in rock climbing, all you need is the smallest crevice for a foothold or a tiny crack for inserting a finger. I will never forget the time we were at Camp Calvary with one of our bus trips of the children and young people from our church, and there were various ones trying to climb the rock wall that was there. And the one who was most successful, in fact, just dominantly successful, was Lucas Bubb. And Lucas, somehow or another, like a monkey, he could just get his fingers in those crevices and his toes in those little spots. And next thing we know, no time flat, he was at the top of the wall. And we all celebrated. Well, this father of this dear boy that was in such a need was distressed at the sight of his own belief. Worry and anxiety is equal to unbelief, and unbelief, quite frankly, is a sin according to Scripture. It kept the children of Israel out of the Promised Land for 40 years. Unbelief doubts the power of omnipotence. Unbelief doubts the value of biblical promises. Unbelief doubts the efficiency or the efficacy of Christ's blood. Unbelief doubts the prevalence of Christ's pleas on our behalf. Unbelief doubts the very truth of Scripture. And this man turned his thoughts in that direction, no longer saying, "Lord, help my child," but, "Lord, help my unbelief." After that tearful discovery, there was an intelligent appeal. This poor father cried to Jesus. He appealed based on faith. "Lord, I believe." Can you come to Christ today with even a small amount of faith? Oh, friend, I hope that you will. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I trust there's some inkling of something there, a ray of hope that will cause you to come to Jesus. A bruised reed, he said in Isaiah 42, shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. This father appealed with confession of sin. He said in verse 24, "Lord, I believe, and here's my unbelief." Chronic anxiety represents the sin of unbelief, a serious sin needing repentance. He appealed to one who knows how to help in this matter. Help! And Jesus did help. Jesus does help. And Jesus will help. Hallelujah. I'm glad for the help that Jesus offers. So if you're worried about a loved one or about some other life difficulty, come to Jesus with any case. Come to Jesus in every case. Come with your little faith, for in this matter he can help as no other can. He specializes in things thought impossible, and he can do what no other power can do, as the song says. Some things can only be accomplished through prayer and fasting. The doubts and unbelief must be confessed and given over to Jesus. So if your faith is feeble, rest assured it can be bolstered by putting your trust in a strong Savior. His name is Jesus. There was a suspected difficulty, the cluelessness of the disciples, the hopelessness of his problem, the powerlessness, so we thought, of his Savior. But then there was a tearful discovery. His small faith discovered his unbelief. He was distressed at the sight of his own belief. He turned his thoughts in that direction no longer. And then the intelligent appeal comes through, based on faith, with a confession of sin to the one who knows how to help us in this matter, and his name is Jesus. Oh, friend, what a great prescription for turning our feeble faith into triumph. I trust that that will be your story today, that if you have been struggling, that today will be the day when in faith believing, you can trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can bring to Him the burdens in your life. You can trust Him with the most precious things to you today and know that God will not fail you and that Jesus still specializes in that which is impossible. Hallelujah. Can you do it today? Can you trust Him today? Would you join us today? We are celebrating our 75th anniversary this year, and we're kicking it off with a great time of attendance efforts to boost our attendance and for each of us to be reaching out and finding family and friends who would join us for a worship opportunity at our church. Most of all, we're praying for individuals that their faith might become strong in Jesus Christ, who is mighty to save. Praise His name. So do join us and do come back next week for another Missionary Echoes from 9 to 9:30 next Sunday morning. We'll be here, Lord willing, and we hope you will as well. God bless you. Have a wonderful Lord's Day.
The faith on which you stand is just as strong as its foundation. If it's on the rock, the winds of life won't blow it down. But if it's built upon the sand, when the storm comes, you'll be shaken. You'll be looking for a place to stand on solid ground. But if you build your faith before the walls start breaking, build your faith before the earth starts shaking, build your faith before the storm gets out of control. Build your faith upon God's foundation, then you'll still be standing when the storm is raging. Build your faith on the Lord and you'll have peace in your soul. To those who trust in Him, God gives the calm assurance that whatever comes, His love will always stay secure. So if your hope is getting dim, remember He provides endurance to take you safely through each storm and keep your footing sure. So if you build your faith before the walls start breaking, build your faith before the earth starts shaking, build your faith before the storm gets out of control. If you build your faith upon God's foundation, then you'll still be standing when the storm is raging. Build your faith on the Lord and you'll have peace in your soul. Build your faith on the Lord and you'll have peace in your soul. Build your faith on the Lord and you'll have peace in your soul. Faith before the walls start breaking, build your faith before the earth starts shaking, build your faith before the storm gets out of control. Build your faith upon God's foundation, then you'll still be standing when the storm is raging. Build your faith on the Lord and you'll have peace in your soul. The Lord, and you'll have peace in your soul. Build your faith on the Lord, and you'll have peace in your soul. Before the walls start breaking, build your faith before the earth starts shaking, build your faith before the storm gets out of control. Build your faith upon God's
God's foundation, then you'll still be standing when the storm is raging. Build your faith on the Lord and you'll have peace in your soul. Build your faith on the Lord and you'll have peace in your soul. Build your faith on the Lord and you'll have peace in your soul.